Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The Pet Doctor is brought to you by Dog.com. For everything and anything dog, shop Dog.com today for all the top brands. Greenies, Frontline, Kong, Nylabone, Royal Canin, and more. Shop at Dog.com and use the promo code SADDOC, S-A-D-D-O-C, and get $15 off your order of $75 or more.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Boy meets girl. Boy and girl get married. They have their firstborn child, and these days, that's often a cat or a dog. Pet is the apple of their owner's eye. But all of a sudden, girl gets pregnant, and that firstborn, possibly a highly indulged pet, is expected to abdicate its place on the bed and the owner's heart to a squirmy, smelling, crying creature. That transition can be rocky. The American Humane Association wants to maintain peace and harmony and ensure that the pet isn't relinquished to a shelter because the two members of the family just aren't getting along. My guest today is Jane Greco-Demme. She is Director of Education for the Humane Animal Interaction Program of the American Humane Association. She'll give us some pointers on how to make the pet meeting baby experience a howling success. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
There's a movement afoot, ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code DOCTOR, D-O-C-T-O-R, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code DOCTOR20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com, code word DOCTOR and the number 20.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's O-Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. O-Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Shane, thank you very much for being on the show again.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
I have so many of my clients who I live in an area, very definitely suburbia. They get married, they bring in that little puppy and kitten, and they're just so charmed and ecstatic. They just love this little kid so much. And then all of a sudden, as I said, she gets pregnant, and now this dog or cat is expected to still be an important part of the family, but there's the baby.
Yeah, and that can be extremely traumatic, even for the most mellow old cat. It can create all sorts of trauma. More importantly, it can create some safety issues, which is why we decided to do this booklet for our families. And that is because when a baby comes home, it doesn't appear to be part of the family unit. In fact, babies don't even appear to be human to animals. And I think part of that, this dog or this cat is my baby until the real baby comes, creates a false sense of security. So you have this wonderful yellow lab. It loves everybody. It's all over the place. You take it everywhere with you. And along comes this thing that doesn't smell like a human. Its motor skills are really odd compared to how a human moves. It makes high-pitched squeaking noises. And by the way, high-pitched squeaking noises could be an injured rabbit or an injured squirrel or a prey item. So this wonderful animal that's been your baby all this time suddenly becomes a predator. So this is a very, very serious safety issue. And as much as we want to talk about making the relationship work for the life of the animal and the child, what we first want to do is look at the safety of that relationship. And that means that not for one second, not for one moment should that dog and that child be left alone together. And I don't care if it's the best dog that ever lived. I don't care if it's a therapy dog that's been through every bit of training known to mankind. A dog is a predator. A cat is a predator. By instinct, it's their natural primitive behavior. Not a bad thing, but it is what it is. And protecting the baby takes a little bit of work and time and experience. And like I said, even the best dog can be triggered in a split second to do something that it wouldn't typically do or has never done before. And that's basically, in my community, a 5-day-old baby girl was killed by the family dog. And it was a wonderful dog. And the mother and father left the baby unattended in a seat next to the dog. It was a formula for tragedy. So the first thing that we want to say to parents is that you have to make sure that your pet is healthy. And the second thing we want to say is never, ever leave them alone together, no matter how much you trust them. And then from there, by preparing the pet, you can actually desensitize them to these changes. And the more preparation you do in advance, the less the possibility that the animal thinks that it's been displaced. And that's basically why we wrote this book.
I think this is just fantastic because you're saying, you know, all of a sudden you have that golden retriever, and that is like the quintessential Rockwell pictured animal with the baby. And we see these internet YouTube videos of babies crawling all over the dog, and it just looks spectacular. But you're right. It can be any breed, any age, cat or dog that just pops, its little brain goes, oops, no, that's something to be prey, and I can't control myself. I just have to chase it.
And sometimes they just pick them up and shake them once, and the damage is done. The child is gone. So it's, and everyone, my assistant and I did workshops for years for expectant parents. And all of them coming into the room felt the same way, that their dog would never do that, but they didn't want their dog or their cat to be unhappy when the new baby came. And they left rethinking the whole situation, because children in this country die every year, and it's the result of wonderful pets. Not bad dogs, not bad cats. It's the result of, I say to parents all the time, you would cover up the electrical plugs, you put the knives on the shelf, you secure the doors, but what about your dog? What about your cat? What are you doing to prepare the fact that they too can be a danger to your child? Not that they will be. In most cases, they won't. But we don't know. And they could be very good with someone else's child. But bringing a child into your home to live, all bets are off. And you need to really kind of rethink your strategy for bringing home this baby. And that's, this book covers everything from preparing ahead of time, making sure your pet is healthy, its behavior is good, it's well socialized, it's physically and mentally active. Then we want to talk about what is appropriate behavior with a dog. One of my big things is people who have new babies scold their dog for warnings. If your dog growls, he's telling you I'm uncomfortable. And you need to respect that and respond accordingly. If you tap him on the head and say, no, no, don't do that, then the next time when he's uncomfortable, he won't warn you and his behavior will change. So understanding your pet's stress level, what the warnings are with behavior. We seem to know our pets incredibly well. I have a 12-year-old dog sitting here next to me, and I pretty much know what he's going to do. If the mailman comes, you're going to hear barking in the background. But I couldn't predict how he would be if I brought home a new baby. I have to be prepared for that and think about it. Look at his body language, look at his eyes, and kind of understand what he's feeling and thinking. And some of the things that you can do to prepare them are so simple. If everyone in your listening audience thinks about how, who does not have a child, thinks about how often they touch their pets. My dog comes and sits next to my desk or in my lap. My cat jumps up and lays on the mat next to my desk. I'm touching my animals all day long. If the dynamics in my household suddenly changed because a baby was here, they would consider the baby the problem. So what
and
we want to
be right, yes.
Yes. So what we want to do is start changing the amount of attention that we give them. Give them less of that kind of benign attention and more one-on-one activity attention, toys, a run in the park, a ball game in the backyard, whatever, and less time physically touching them. So when the baby comes along and takes up more of your time, and it will, no matter how glorious you think the transition is going to be, it's a workout. And so learning to give the dogs or cats quality rather than quantity will really help with the transition. And getting them on a schedule.
I think that's pretty counterintuitive, too, because most people say, okay, I'm pregnant. Ugh, I don't even feel like walking or going to anything.
Yeah.
And now you want me to not pet it, which is so easy. I can just reach out, pet. Okay, there. Now you're happy? Fine. Let me give you a treat. And now you're expecting me to take it outside or play ball or do whatever. I think a lot of parents or expectant parents are going to go next. But this makes sense. You can see why, because you bring that baby home and you don't have time for yourself.
Right. And it's an instant end to the relationship the way it was. And so what does the dog think? I don't like that thing. Whatever it is that's taking up her time or his time, I don't like it. I liked it when I had time. So by making gradual changes to your schedule, you can really prepare your pet. The other thing that helps prepare the pet is to get baby sounds, and you can download them from the internet. Some cooing, some gurgling, some crying. Start it at a low octave in the room. Bring it up as they adapt to it. Tell them how good they are. Give them, I always say, cheese, 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 when they do something good, because you want to reward them for appropriate behavior. And by the time the baby comes home, you can have that thing blasting, and okay, it's that baby sound. Same thing when you vacuum. Sprinkle some baby powder. Get them used to the smells, the new smells that are going to be coming into the household. And the other big precaution that I always mention is food. Now, my dog, you could pick up his dish and bring it to Cleveland. He could care less. He's not at all food motivated. But for a dog who lives for their meal, having this new baby in the house, disrupting that schedule, maybe the baby's feeding station is near his dog dish, it can be perceived as a threat. So you want to think about in the future, where am I going to feed this dog or this cat that will be away from where the baby is, so there's no perceived threat. you want to keep the pet out of the room when you're feeding the baby, because you don't want a Cheerio to fall on the floor with a dog that's very assertive around food. So you want to be really careful to separate that. And when, of course, not everyone has a baby. A lot of people adopt a baby. When you adopt a child, sometimes they're older. And if they're crawling, what a perceived threat it is if your Chewy or your toy is under the skirt of the couch. The dog knows it's there. And the baby's just crawling along, but it's a perceived threat to that dog that you would never consider. So thinking about how and when you feed animals, what their behavior is around food is a biggie. It's a biggie. And you really, like when kids first become mobile, you need to be careful about where the pet is and how it perceives that baby. And it's really all about watching their interactions, being careful, particularly with dogs and cats, mostly dogs that are assertive around food. That can be a big problem.
Now, do you agree with me? One of the recommendations that I've made, and I want to see if this is correct, you're talking about having the pet out of the room, for instance, when the child's a little bit older and it's eating its own food and Cheerios. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that toddler age. But when I have a mother with a brand new baby, and many times she's either breastfeeding or just even bottle feeding, so this is the time to make sure that the dog realizes this thing isn't bad, because they'll want to come up and get some love for you. So make sure your pet knows how to do the sit stay routine. And then they have these like little pillows that you can put around your waist so you can kind of mm-hmm. support the baby on that. Yeah. And I said, okay, in those little pockets, one for your cell phone, one for whatever, put some dog treats. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden now the dog is with you and you're nursing the baby and you're giving it treats, like your cheese idea.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
And the animal is associating that interaction with as a good thing with the baby. But before I did that, and this is one of the things that we put in this book, is let's try it with a fake baby. Let's try the month before the baby comes buying a doll that cries and moves. You can get them at Toys R Us for under $25. They're battery operated. They make all kinds of little sounds and their arms move. Let's practice walking into a room with it, sitting down and pretending to feed it. And see, and that's a great way when your dog comes bounding over, you say, sit, good dog. Reinforce them while you've got the fake baby. Because a claw or, the wrong move with a real baby could cause some real harm. I mean, just a big dog putting its paw up on a baby could cause a really dangerous scratch. So you want to start. We suggest that, like, within 6 weeks of the baby's birth, you introduce a toy. And you put it in a carriage and push it around the house, hold the dog's leash, see how they behave around a carriage. You put it in a high chair, you put it in a swing. A swing is a moving object. And with a prey item in it, it can trigger some tough behaviors in dogs. So you want to make sure that you put your little make-believe baby, life-size, in the swing and let it rock back and forth and see what the dog's response is. And the same thing with sitting and nursing. That can be an incredibly pleasant experience, or it can be an incredibly difficult experience with a dog that's not prepared for it. Especially some of these dogs that are really lively, ambitious, busy, you know, want to be in your lap, jumping around, happy, silly. I always think of the Labs. They're just so enthusiastic. Like everything is a celebration with a young Lab. So we want to teach them that this is quiet time and show them how to behave when you're sitting on the couch holding a baby. And you don't want to do that with the real baby. At least I think it's smart not to. Do you agree?
Totally. Planning ahead is one of the most important things, and I'd like to plan right now for a short break that we need to take. We're chatting right now with Jane Greco-Deming, and she is the Director of Education for the Human-Animal Interactions Program for American Humane Association. We're getting some great information on how to make that firstborn child your cat or dog, and we'll see if there's other pets to be concerned with also, with that new baby that you're bringing home, or maybe even that adopted child. So sit, stay, listen. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly. right after these messages.
There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
"So how do you feel about cat condos?"
we can say from experience,
"Feels like home for her."
Enter the code DR10, DOCTOR, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
Where have you been?
Oh, Grandma, I've been busy, you know, racing, GoDaddy girl.
Oh, I built my own online store with GoDaddy.
Really? Let me see. Grandma'sAuction.com? Hey, aren't those Grandpa's golf clubs?
Grandma needs her bingo money.
Use promo code DR10, DOCTOR, the number 10, and get a .com domain name for just $7.49 at GoDaddy.com.
If you ask the question, what do I want? What do I need? I'll take affection. Irene should mention. I need time, I need love, I crave attention.
There's a new waiting by the door, with shaking tails and happy hearts, and running circles round the floor. That's always when the party starts.
Oh, they got fun.
They are my friends, they are my children, they are the first.
I Love My Pets, the new single by Mark Winter, available on iTunes.
Hi, and welcome to The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Colleen Safford. Each week, we'll focus on different topics: child pet safety, child pet training, just how to make an appropriate pet selection for your family. All of these things will be covered in each one of our episodes. So we hope that you will join us at The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio.
Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Jane, this information is so important. I have never found a source with information such as your book is putting out. Where do people find this book? And give us the title again.
The title of the book is Pet Meets Baby. It's probably the most inexpensive investment that a person can make. If they go to our website, AmericanHumane.org, it's in our company store for $2.
Oh my goodness! That's
yeah, and you can buy a bundle of 10 for 15 and share them with all your friends. I keep thinking this is the perfect thing to put into a gift at a baby shower.
Yes,
we will be. We just received a grant to produce, I think, between 50 and 75,000 that will go out to, we're in the process, so I'm not going to say, but three huge places where they can be distributed to, for instance, OBGYNs. We are very seriously considering working with Amazon.com to sell them on there as well, because the idea for this is not to make money on it. It's to get this information into homes. So it's called Pet Meets Baby. It's $2. You just go to AmericanHumane.org and you'll find it in our store with a description and a picture of it.
I love it. Great information. That's great.
Thanks. We had a great deal of difficulty finding any one place where there was more than a paragraph or two in terms of training and behavior with dogs. about how to introduce a baby, and that's why we decided to do this booklet. We felt like it all needed to be in one place. There are loads of references in the book for where you can find more information about particular issues, but having it all in one place is really helpful to a parent.
Is it in languages other than English or just English?
No, just English right now, I'm afraid. You know, we keep looking at all of our materials, but this is pretty text heavy because it's for adults. So the cost of, you know, of turning it over to Spanish or another language is really prohibitive, and we want to be careful about, we want this to be available and we want it to be free or at a low price. So it's a consideration, but not a priority at this moment.
Well, it's a very good start, and I think it's fantastic. So speaking of starts also, now, what are your recommendations for bringing home that baby, the first time it walks through the door and meets the cat or dog? What can people do to make that particular experience as good as possible?
Well, there's a couple of things to consider. Number one, whether you're going away to adopt a baby or going away to give birth, you're going for a couple of days. And that makes your pet a little bit anxious. You know, where is she going? All these changes have taken place. You know, what the heck is going on here? So they're already a little bit uncomfortable. One of the things that we recommend is, if you're adopting, to get a T-shirt or a blanket from the baby and bring it home, not for the pet to lay on or curl up on, but something that you can hang somewhere so they get used to that smell. For newborns, we recommend the cap that goes on the baby when it's born, not the first one, because the first one will have some mucus and some remains from the birth, and that could be a not-so-good trigger. But usually, the whole time the baby is in the hospital, they keep a cap on its head. If you can bring home the second cap, if your spouse or your significant other can bring that home and introduce it to your pets, again, not letting them play with it, but maybe pinning it to the corner of the couch or holding it so they can sniff it. You know, your body releases a lot of heat and a lot of fragrances through your head. So the pet can get a real idea of what this new baby is going to smell like and get a focus on it. So when the baby does come home, they're well prepared. The second thing that we recommend is that mom come in the house without the baby. The baby can wait in the car, at the next door neighbor's. This is only a 10-minute thing. But going back to that enthusiastic 3-year-old lab is going to go berserk when she walks in the door. And there's no stopping that. That's the breed. Cocker Spaniels will be over the moon because mommy's back.
It'd be terrible to all of a sudden start saying, no, down,
yes,
down.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the baby in your arms.
So letting the pet come in and get reacquainted, the mother is going to smell weird. Whether you went to a place to adopt or you went to the hospital, your smells are going to change. You're going to be coming in new and different. There's hormonal changes. Pets understand hormonal changes. They can't read what they are, but they know that things have changed. So you want to have a few minutes to get reacquainted. And then having someone else come in the door with the baby, once the dog, and we always recommend, particularly with dogs, that somebody give them a good run before you get home. That way you've burned off some of that steam.
Great idea.
And then someone else, whether it's dad or auntie or grandma, somebody else walks in with the dog. And we recommend, if it's a really exuberant dog, that it be on a leash for a few minutes until all this action slows down. My other big recommendation is, if you have a dog that trains well with treats, I would leave a can of treats on a shelf near the front door. And just like if you had a 3-year-old and you were bringing home a new baby, everyone who comes through the door, before they go, ooh, look at the baby, they first say hello to your dog and give them a treat so that the dog feels recognized and part of the unit and part of the activity. I think that really helps with their adjustment, just like it would with a 3-year-old. So then you're going to bring the baby in, and by now, if you've used the toy baby, this is not such a big deal. It's making sounds it's heard before. It's smelling what it's smelled before. They've been somewhat desensitized. There's still going to be some excitement because it's something new. People are excited. And you know, if you're really nervous around a dog, the dog gets a little uneasy. When there's all this excitement, it gets the dog, even the oldest dog, will get excited because there's excitement. So you want to take it slow. You don't want to have 100 people at your house the first day. For the sake of your pets and for your newborn, it's a good idea to take it slow. Slow introduction.
For the sake of mom, too.
Yeah, and I like to remind people that if your pet, like particularly with cats, slept in the spare bedroom all the time, and now the spare bedroom's becoming a baby's room, it's going to be off limits long before the baby comes home. And what we recommend for multiple cats is get a screen door. Use hardware cloth. So the cats, you can still see and hear the baby. You can't use a baby gate with a cat. So, but you could install a screen door or take out panels of your door and put in hardware cloth that cats can climb on, but they can't get through. It's, that room has to be out of bounds for animals unless they're with you.
I've recommended screen doors for years, and people have looked at me like, you're crazy. I'm going to put a screen door on my baby's door going, yes.
Yes, yes, you can hear them, see them, know what's going on, and it precludes anything from going in. It does not stop noise, so you may want to just close a solid door and use a radio. But if you're one of those people, you know, if you have an intercom, that works. But if you're one of those people that wants to keep eye contact or there's no door on that room, a doggy gate works great, but not for cats. And I've seen people stack several doggy gates to keep a cat out. You just want to make sure that the animal is not allowed in that room unless you're in there.
We've been talking for so long now about dogs, and yes, they're the ones that can cause typically the most injury. But okay, you're mentioning cats. What about kitties? What can we do for them? They oftentimes just say, excuse me, I'm going to the other room. I'm getting away from this thing. But well, other kind of pets too.
Yeah, well, we want to remember that with cats, a lot of times they need as a way of showing affection. So we want to make sure before the baby comes home that cats and dogs have nails that are trimmed. I recommend that people with birds taper off. If you have, like, for instance, a nice-sized parrot, you want to start changing your interaction with that parrot long in advance so that you're giving it more quality but less quantity of time, because what's it going to do? You go in with the baby, it's going to scream its brains out. It's going to be, and birds are very sensitive, particularly if they have an attachment with one parent. So you want to make sure that you're prepared them for this, that you have the ability to put a dark cloth over them to keep them quiet. But you can't keep them in the dark all the time. They need plenty of toys, interaction, a second bird. And there are bird clubs all over this country, so if people have citizens, hook-billed birds, they may want to talk to others in their community about what they've done to make the transition. I also want to talk about reptiles because I'm a turtle person. I've always had turtles and tortoises. I'm a wildlife rehabilitator, so they've always been around. And iguanas are very popular, as are snakes. It is not unusual for them to be carriers of salmonella. It's part of their digestive flora, and normally if you get exposed to it, you get a little bit sick and a story. With a newborn baby or an infant or a child that's been sick or is immune compromised, it can be deadly. So they need to be kept in their enclosures. You need to come up with a protocol of sanitation that is sensible. Washing hands before and after, washing their dishes in a separate place from the sink, not allowing them to swim in your bathtub. The warm water is a perfect place to grow that bacteria. And then you put your baby's little bum in there. So you need to be paying attention to those sorts of things and making sure that with reptiles that you're sanitizing.
And some of the large snakes, too. Many people have those big constrictors.
Right. And you can't let animals like that roam your house when you have a newborn. And you need to be aware of that, particularly if you have friends that keep reptiles. If you're bringing your baby there, you need to be very careful. If they let their animals climb around, I'll tell you, I would not bring a baby to a house where animals that could carry salmonella, they can spread that bacteria just from by virtue of their belly moving across a couch. That first year is critical for babies, and you don't want something like that. The other thing that I want to mention is so many people, when I worked in a shelter for years, so many people would give up their cats because they were worried about toxoplasmosis. And that builds up in fecal matter. But number one, you'd have to have a very dirty kitty litter box. And I'm sure you've talked about this on other shows.
It right. takes the
like 5 days.
Yep.
Your cats would have to be eating animals, which if you have an indoor cat, that's not a possibility. It's really hard to get toxo unless you're really poor with cleanliness. But my recommendation is just have someone else in the house do it. If your spouse is away in the military, bring in a neighbor to do it for you, or do it with mask and gloves. But don't let your OBGYN say, get rid of your cats. Some old-fashioned OBGYNs do that. And you just need to read up, be clean, be careful, understand what the protocol is, and you can find that online. And don't be dumping your pets because you're getting a baby. Some of the research that we've seen tells us that the best thing in the world for a child growing up is to have a companion, a pet. And when we think about it, we decorate their rooms with pets. We have dogs and cats or bears in their room. My grandchildren, every single one of them, the first sound they made was the sound of a dog or a cat.
Oh, how cute.
So kids have a natural affinity for animals. Setting it up so it's a safe environment is the most important part.
You have given us some wonderful pointers, some great ideas, safety for the child, and we're also protecting the pet at the same time.
Absolutely.
What else is the American Humane Association coming up with? What other projects do you have going? We only have a few more minutes.
Okay, well, we are, right now we're working on a kids' website, and that will probably be launched in the fall. It'll be very interactive, very playful, very engaging. We want kids to have fun learning about pets. We are also, and it should be done within about 2 months, we are working on a pet loss section of our website.
Well, that's so important.
Where kids and parents can go, and number one, we want to validate children's feelings. It always annoys me when, you know, Uncle Joe says, don't worry about it, we'll get you another dog. They don't realize that for most children, the first experience they have with death is a pet. And kids don't know how to cope with it. And we can't dismiss it. We need to validate their feelings. So this new website will be a place where kids can go, where they can memorialize their pet, where they can get information. And that should be coming up in the next couple of months. So I'd recommend that your audience keep checking in at AmericanHumane.org because we have lots of cool things happening. And by the way, for teachers, we have free downloadable lesson plans and activities for kids. They're all easy to follow directions. They're all based on national education standards, and they all include character lessons. So we're trying to reach everybody with this message so that maybe we'll have a kinder, better planet 10 years from now, maybe even 5.
That would be fantastic. And I'd love to have you just mention very quickly also about your kids interacting with dogs.
Yeah, last year, and I think probably 6 months ago, you and I had a conversation about this, but we have a program called American Humane Kids, and it's a dog bite prevention program for little kids. So kids 4 to 7 who have not been the audience of choice, but are the most likely to be badly hurt in a dog interaction. You can go online. Those are for sale in our company store. There's a 12-minute live-action DVD that's kids talking to kids about empathy and compassion and being safe without talking about bites, which is the goal of that program. But also there's a CD in the package of 7 lessons and 50 activities that teachers, librarians, scout leaders could all use. And it's very inexpensive. There are coloring books. There are leaflets that go with it. So I recommend that your audience check it out. It's become a very, very popular program, particularly for animal shelters. So let's have some people go and check it out and see what they think.
American Humane is fantastic because you're taking care of all those little ones in the family, whether or not it have two legs or four legs or feathers or whatever. You are wondrous. We've been chatting right now with Jane Greco-Demi. She is Director of Education, Human Animal Interactions Program for American Humane. Thank you so much, Jane, for being with us today. Some great information.
Thank you, Dr. Cruz. It's always a pleasure.
Great. And we will have you back on again. I know that for sure.
Anytime. I'd love it.
Good. So this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you very much for listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best pet owner that you can be. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.